We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you thinking about selling your house, but it's not in tip-top condition? How do you ensure you'll maximize your profit? If your house is in need of an upgrade, HouseLift can assist in eliminating all the stress of the remodeling process, all while matching the current trends that buyers most desire. And get this, zero upfront costs from you, the homeowner. That's right, you won't pay for any of the upfront costs of the remodel until your house closes. HouseLift will handle everything, from the contractors to the design, all while managing the costs. Here's what you need to do. Head to houseliftcolorado.com and check out the incredible remodels they've done for homeowners in the metro area. In past jobs, they've put anywhere from $15,000 to $60,000 more in their clients' pockets. Call 303-885-7888 today to find out what HouseLift can do for you. That's 303-885-7888. Oh, and if you hire one of their preferred realtors, they'll sell your home without charging a listing commission. Let's hop into the show.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the curds from Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue WIN. Tuning in every day with the good folks down at BSN.
Welcome in to the BSN Broncos podcast. It's a Thursday. Man, this week is flying by. And it's going to be a great show today because we have football on the field to talk about. We got this week. We got one more week of football going on next week. Do you know if we'll get more than one, or are we just getting one next week too?
I think we're getting three.
Wow, three.
Not positive.
Next week.
But I will get your hopes up.
That would be awesome. And then we head into the summer. But Zach, I have some exciting news to share with you.
Oh, hit me.
Last night, I was going to a business meeting at Linger in the Highlands, which is a great place. Highly recommended. But the wait was too long. So you know what I did?
Little man?
Headed down to my brother's bar.
Oh, yes.
The Zach Stevens yes. favorite. Had never been there before. Got myself a burger. No bun, of course. And got to say, I was impressed.
Yes. I love hearing that. Was it smothered in cheese?
Yeah. So I got the, I'm going to call it like the Big Jimmy.
Okay. Something okay. along those Don't lines. Think that exists there, but
there's definitely Jimmy involved.
There's a Johnny burger.
The Johnny. I got Jimmy John's somehow confused in there. The Johnny. And it was delicious. Two different types of cheese. Actually, yep. three if you include yep. cream cheese,
yep.
jalapenos, grilled onions, the works. It was delicious.
It's my favorite burger ever, and it's a little different. I mean, especially if you're going to Linger before, and you go to my brother's bar, they bring your burger out in, what is that? Not plastic wrap, but it's like on just a plastic.
Kind of like wax paper?
Exactly, wax paper. That's what I'm looking for. And then they bring the condiments out kind of in this tray. It's different. Man, I'm so happy you made it there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
and you got the right burger.
There's just one thing missing.
Uh-oh.
Just needed some LA seasoning on that burger. That's all I needed. It was fantastic. Meat was tender. The patties were nice and fat. Just needed a little more seasoning. But otherwise, I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
I've got to try this life-changing seasoning.
It will change your life. You won't be able to look at any meat ever the same again.
So it's not just beef?
No. I put it in the burgers. Like I said, if it's red, there's always seasoning going on it.
So it really is John Elway's greatest contribution.
I would say so. It affects my life on a weekly basis. Pretty much everything John Elway does affects my life at this point.
That's very true.
But anyways, good review. It is kind of crazy. They bring this like giant, the tables are pretty small.
Yep.
And then they bring this like giant boat of condiments on there. I was sitting there with Brandon and someone we were meeting with, and I was like, do you guys mind if I move this? Like, I'm like afraid to like slice my burger or else I'm going to knock it off the table.
It has the longest active liquor license of anywhere in Denver too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I would say we took a little bit advantage of that last night. We closed the place down. And it was a great time. I took a picture of all the chairs were stacked on top of the tables, and I was going to be like, this is how most BSN business meetings end, with chairs on top of tables.
So a good meeting.
It was a great meeting.
Love hearing it.
Yes. And speaking of great, I think it's time to talk about what we saw yesterday on the field, and there were some great things out there. I'll let you start with your favorite observation of the day.
Fumagalli.
Oh, there you go. Impressive.
Man, number 84 was lighting it up. And Ryan, I had a media member, not you, next to me say, after Fumagalli caught a touchdown pass, look at me and say, who's number 84? And Troy Fumagalli, kid you not, 3 plays later, the person next to him leans back and goes, wait, who's number 84?
Oh my God.
And I said, Troy Fumagalli. And
I mean, real quick, we might not know that Aaron Wallace is still on the roster, although when I saw his face yesterday, I was like, I do know that guy.
Yep, we actually talked about him last week.
We did. He looks like, I forget which one is which, but he looks like one of Key and Peele.
Key.
He looks like Key.
I think.
He looks like if Key was a football player.
Exactly. He'd be perfect for a skit with them.
Yes. Anyways, saw him and I was like, oh yeah, that's a guy. But that's like Aaron. You should know who Troy Fumagalli is. Troy Fumagalli. You should know who that is.
And why that is so good in a way is a lot of people have just written him off. Just like a lot of people have written Jake Butt off. And there's probably a little more credence to writing Jake Butt off. Although, Ryan, neither you nor I have done that. But his injury concerns are greater than Troy Fumagalli's. Troy's just entering his second year. He had a redshirt season. We never have viewed that as a bad thing. Now, when it turns into a redshirt sophomore season, then like with Jake Butt, that's when you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, can you count on it? Troy, he's not down that path at all, and he's been forgotten, but not by Joe Flacco.
Certainly not by Flacco, and that's almost exactly what I wrote yesterday. I'm like, Troy Fumagalli has become the afterthought of the tight end class, not only because of Jake Butt, not only because they re-signed Jeff Heimann, but because they used a first-round pick on Noah Fant, and all of a sudden Troy Fumagalli becomes an afterthought. But yesterday he's running with the ones the whole day, all the time, and Joe Flacco was all over him, and that is eye-opening because you can tell, and this is something that was in the scouting report on Troy Fumagalli coming out of college, has a knack for finding the open space. And remember, in this defense, it's a zone defense for the most part. There's open spaces. That's how you beat a zone defense. And Fum clearly knows how to navigate his way into those little holes, and they had a connection that was just rolling all day long.
And where's the most important part of the field to find open spaces?
The red zone.
It's when it gets tight in the red zone. And he was finding it left and right. I believe there was a three-play series with Joe Flacco, kind of going, what was it, from the 7 or the 4 or the 5 or something?
The 5, yeah.
I mean, there's no room to get open in there. That's when you got to make the corner of the end zone leaping grabs with Cortland Sutton. But Joe was looking just right in the middle of the field. With Troy Fumagalli, he was able to find those open spaces. That's a great thing you picked up on. And he did not look. He looked like a natural. He especially after obviously not doing anything last year, earlier this offseason, still just doing stuff on the side. And we're going, what the heck is up with this hernia that happened a year ago? Last week, I didn't notice him at all. I mean, Jeff was the guy running with the ones. Noah Fant was running with the ones as well. it was the Fumagalli show yesterday.
Yeah, like I said on the subheadline in my story on the observations, which over 1,000 words. Go check that out if you want a more in-depth breakdown of what we saw yesterday. But I said he was fumigating the offense, which it needs it because it's been pretty stinky. but yeah, great for him. And you mentioned the red zone, and that was my number one takeaway and the top headline from my observations piece. Flacco, man, he knows how to navigate his way through the red zone. And that is such a stark contrast from what we've seen from these quarterbacks over the last couple of years. You know what he did in the red zone last year?
What?
9 games, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
10 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Ooh.
That was on pace for 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in the red zone.
You'll take that.
You will take that. You know what Case Keenum did? In 16 games, no pro rating going on here. 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
Not quite the same, is it? Oh, Ryan, it just reminded me, though, when you said Case Keenum, remember how dynamite he was the year before in Minnesota in the red zone? I think he had the highest passer rating of any quarterback all year in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a fluke. That's all we just have to go back and say that was a fluke. There's nothing we can change about that. It's old news at this point.
And on top of Joe Flacco being great last year, leading up to the Broncos game, when did they play them? Was it week 4?
Yep.
The Ravens were 100% in the red zone, meaning when they entered the 20, they scored a touchdown every single time. I don't know if they continued that. They continued it in the Broncos game.
They sure did. 3 for 3.
I know it went at least 10 for 10 at the start of last year.
I had the research in my story yesterday. Clearly didn't read it. Way to do your homework. I know you saw, so it's okay. 12 for 12. Started 12 for 12. And talk about balance. 6 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing touchdowns, which is pretty impressive. But yeah, he was great in the red zone last season. And he really put that on display yesterday. The most impressive of the bunch, because he went 3 for 3 in a set that I don't even know if another quarterback had a touchdown in the set. But he went 3 for 3, including one where he was flushed from the pocket. And he doesn't look, what's the word I'm looking for? Graceful when he rolls out of the pocket. But, man, can he put the ball on the money? And this one was the throw of the day. Rolling right and a little bit back, he finds Cortland Sutton on the back line of the end zone, floats it with just pristine touch to Cortland, where only Cortland could have caught it, with extended arms, drags the toes, touchdown. And that's when I was like, wow, that is just not something we've seen. I mean, I think there was a couple, you know, Trevor Siemian had the one where he threw it on a line on a sidearm to Emmanuel. There's a couple ones where you've seen throws like that over the last couple of years. But this one was a thing of beauty. Like I said, the only person who could have caught it is Sutton. And it was rolling right hard, with him sprinting across, and he put it into, you know, if there was a tire there where he needs to throw it, he put it through the tire.
And that's a veteran Super Bowl MVP type of move, right? And yes, he's only been, he's never been a league MVP. He's not doing this. He's not, you know, lighting the league on fire. But these are the plays that bring the Broncos to the playoffs this year, Ryan. It's not making mistakes when it matters most, unlike last year, where that's all the Broncos did was make mistakes when it mattered most in their limited opportunities. If Joe Flacco is efficient, not 12 for 12 to start the season, not 18 to 2 in the year, if he's efficient with this defense, Ryan, this is going to be a very fun year this year. Not talking about the future. And what I loved about Joe working in the red zone was that throw that you just detailed, but also that he was going to the left. He hit Troy on the left one time, in the middle, Cortland Sutton on the right. He was looking everywhere, because you know what? If a quarterback focuses even just on the middle and the right and doesn't look to one side or won't look to the middle or won't look to the outsides, you know how easy it is in a tight space for a good defensive coordinator to say, our two safeties or one of our linebackers and one of our safeties are just going to be camped out in that side, and we'll probably bring the other two guys over to help in that side. And then you take a tight space and make it so there's zero room to breathe. And Ryan, I want to show you something really quick. my second tab open is your story. Oh. I just missed it.
Ah, okay, okay, all right. I don't know about that, but I
swear.
I mean, you could have been doing anything in the last 5 minutes since I called you out on that.
I was talking.
Mm. I don't know. Anyways, Flacco looked great. The one that you talked about in the middle was actually, we didn't really have the angle for it. It might have been a more impressive throw. All I know is there was a lot of people there, and they all ended up on the ground. But Jeff Heuermann had the ball in his hands. It was a touchdown. So
yep.
Who knows how good of a throw that was or what the window looked like. It seems like it was tight, though, just because there was a lot of collisions and one man with the ball, and that was the guy who was supposed to have it.
So, of course, everyone's saying, okay, talking about how great Fumagalli is. You mentioned Jeff Heuermann getting a touchdown. What about Noah Fant? And, of course, whenever there's good, Ryan, people always think of the bad. Is it a concern?
No, I'm not concerned. The coaching staff definitely wants to send a little message to him. He was not getting work with the ones yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And he has before.
And he has. I think, and I bet you if you asked Vic Fangio, he'd say it's more about Troy doing well. And how could we disagree? Because we saw it out there on the field. We'd say, yeah, I mean, he certainly played well enough to deserve those reps. But I think all of the rookies, can you name a rookie who looked great yesterday? We didn't really see much from Dalton.
Right.
I mean, if I'm not calling his name, I guess it's a good thing for most offensive linemen.
And your top story was Mr. Red Zone, a.k.a. Joe Flacco, not Drew Lock, absolutely lighting it up.
Yeah, I mean, Drew had some good throws, some bad throws. It's what we're going to see from Drew for, I think, probably all of this OTAs. And Noah, he was used in some interesting ways. They had some cool little screens drawn up for him. They had, you know, some stuff going on, but none of the rookies to me jumped out and you said, wow, that guy had a great day. Juwan Winfrey made it into my notes as he's becoming a favorite of the backup quarterbacks, whether it's Hogan, Locke, Rippon, whoever it is, they're finding Juwan Winfrey a lot, which to me is always a good sign. It means you're getting close to moving up to the ones.
There was I think this was just individual drills where I think each quarterback threw a ball. And so, of course, different wide receivers, they were doing an out route, about 20 yards down the field. And the first one was a great catch by probably Courtland Sutton. The second one, I think it was a good catch by, oh man, I almost called him Bubba Caldwell. I mean, Brandon Langley. And the third one, and so both you and I were like, whoa, that was a good one. Whoa, that was also a good one. And the third one was Juwan Winfrey, one-handed. I mean, when the ball touched his left hand, it didn't move at all. Great extended too. I mean, it was something where if you would have got a picture of it, it would be in his house right now. His parents would have framed it.
Yeah, it was Velcro. Pure Velcro from him. So I think, I don't know. I mean, the rookies, they're just constantly getting more and more piled on to them. You have to give them a break, I guess, when it comes to OTAs. They're not going to have great days every day. And for some reason, yesterday was just, a collectively down, and I put that in quotation marks, day. It was way more veterans who were standing out.
Have we seen enough from the rookies where right now, taking a step back where we are right now, where you feel confident in what this group is going to be this year and in the future?
No.
But have you seen enough where you're not worried about them?
Yeah.
And if we were beaming about the rookies every single time after we watched practice, then you might be saying, okay, well, who are these other guys then? If we're only talking about the rookies who have been on the job for less than a month, Ryan. I mean, the draft happened 1 month ago, and then they had to wait a few weeks to get here. If we'd be talking about them every single time, then that's when, the positives, and that's when looking at the negatives would be legit. So I've seen enough where I'm comfortable in what I've seen from them moving forward. Now, you don't want to see this multiple weeks in a row, but I don't expect that. Noah Fant has been good. He's really impressed me just with the way he moves. And this is great news about Troy Fumagalli emerging. I mean, everyone was saying, okay, this year or in the future, you got Jeff Heuermann as a solid number two, a good blocker, can catch the ball. And then you're going to have Noah Fant just be this excellent receiver. Jake Butt, well, what if Jake Butt can evolve? And then you have Fant and Butt as receivers. What if it's Fumagalli? And that's probably the guy who right now, if I had to put my money on, who's going to be the best two for this team in the future, it's him.
Is there a chance they keep four?
Yeah.
They might almost be forced to.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. I was also thinking maybe they start Jake Butt on the PUP.
That'd be okay.
I mean, he hasn't even had a year yet.
Yep.
It'll be, what, week four? Is that when it happened?
Right.
So maybe they start him on the PUP, and then they have to make a decision later down the road.
Especially if you're feeling good about what you have in Fumagalli and Heuermann.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go here, but I think keeping four is very much in play.
Here's how you keep four, Ryan, really quick. You want Kevin Hogan or a fourth tight end?
Give me a fourth tight end all day. Even though some people are saying that Kevin Hogan has been the second best quarterback behind Joe Flacco, I disagree. He was the best yesterday. I got to give credit where it's due. He had a solid day. Nothing really impressed me, but nothing made me say, God, this guy sucks.
He's not lighting it up.
No. But neither did anyone else.
Nope.
Brett Rypien clearly has a ways to go. But I think when all is said and done, it's going to be Joe Flacco's the starter, Drew Lock's the backup, and Brett Rypien on the practice squad. Ooh. Or, you know, some other trick they can use on him.
Right now, let's say you're week 14, you're in the playoff hunt. Joe Flacco tweaked his ankle just a tiny bit. He's getting it taped up, and the defense just turned the ball over.
Drew Lock.
Okay. Right now, Vic Fangio would probably feel more comfortable with Kevin Hogan for one series to lead the offense. By the time Ryan, we say it every week. I look at you and you say, what are we doing? What are we doing here with Kevin Hogan as a backup? Because we both know what the answer is in the future, what the answer will be at the end of training camp. So what are we doing? But yes, right now, Kevin Hogan had the best day of the backups yesterday.
We will give him that, and he will take it. Speaking of the rookies, just before we move on from this little rookie talk, went to a event last night titled Around with the Rookies, and it was at Topgolf, so shout out to Topgolf and our friend Yu Chang, listener of the podcast, friend of the podcast, friend of the company, really. It was fun. Basically, sponsors from the Broncos could buy a bay. They got one of the rookies to come play with them in their bay. They played Topgolf. You know, the winners got to choose a charity to donate money to. It was really cool. In terms of their golf games, Brett Rypien, number one. It's always the quarterbacks.
It is.
Probably number two is Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see if there's anyone else I saw impressive swings from. Noah Fant is just, he's, if you give a really good athlete a golf club, you know?
Right.
Like, he can figure it out.
Yeah.
Some shanks, as you would expect, but also can crush it, you know, if he gets one. Other than that, some ugly, ugly stuff out there.
I won't put him on blast. I'll say, who needs the most work, Ryan? Who needs the most Ryan Koningsberg tutoring?
Oh, my God. So many. Is it Romel Gurrier?
Yeah, there you go. $3,000 signing bonus.
I don't understand how someone who's so athletic can look so lost. Like, we're talking about a world-class athlete. If you got onto an NFL football field,
yep,
even if it's just a practice, you are a world-class athlete. And the arms and the hips, it's all floppy and just nothing happening. And he kind of got the hang of getting the shorter ones. But it always blows my mind. Golf is such a weird sport. Like, for me, I can't remember what it was like to hold a golf club and not know how to, like, keep your arms straight, generate some power, move the hips. Like, and when I see it, I'm just like, is that what I looked like the first time I picked up a golf club? Like, I don't – some people have a really hard time, like, actually, like, swinging the club, like, making it swing and not just, like, flop around.
Ryan, not all of us are golf aficionados, champions like you, and you stole the headlines yesterday.
I got to show my best skill outside of writing and podcasting, which is golf. So I appreciate that. All right, moving on here. Any other? I guess we do have to talk a little bit about Chris Harris Jr. being out there. That's about the extent of my observations about Chris Harris Jr. He was out there.
He was out there. He played two snaps at a time, Ryan. So your observations were very keen on that. He was out there at left corner, just like he was last year, the Aqib Talib spot. And Chris, we talked to him after. He's happy to be back in the building, Ryan. He said he's a football. He's probably not the best at golf, the way he talked about his life. He has his kids, his wife. He loves his family. His wife takes care of everything, he said, because all he does is football. So he's happy to be back in the building. Very businesslike, very straightforward. No gushy, super gushy feelings about being back. He did do a classy move and thank John Elway, the Broncos, and the Bolins for the pay raise. And then it wasn't, yes, I'm going to do everything to be here. Hopefully we can get an extension. And he said, my mentality has always been to retire a Bronco. And that's where that ended. Will he give the Broncos a chance to re-sign him after this year? He said, definitely I'll give him a shot. What else was he? Why would he say no to that? And Chris is back and he's ready.
Real quick, I forgot two shout outs I need to give. After the two quarterbacks, the two best out there, were Joe Ellis and Vic Fangio. Just needed to give that shout out.
Joe Ellis surprises me zero.
Yeah, Fangio got a nice little transfer to him. I talked a little bit about his golf game. He's a solid player.
Anyone that wears the two cherries on their sweater, John Elway and Joe Ellis, are good golfers.
Yeah, I need to get one of those. I feel like it just makes you better. Anyways, Chris Harris Jr., I like the hope. Love to hear the hope. He wants to retire a Bronco. Says he has 16 games to prove that to them. And in my mind, that's saying I have 16 games to prove to them that they need to pay me $15 million or more a year for my age 31, 32, and 33 seasons. And I just don't think there's anything he can do to make that happen.
Yeah, and yesterday he didn't come out as strong on the yes after this year. I'm going to be the top paid cornerback in the league. But again, he was kind of he was businesslike, straightforward. You love the mentality that he's bringing this year. I mean, he's on a contract year, like he was before they gave him $3 million. But he didn't get the big time money that he won. He didn't get the, what was it, $20 million, $40 million. And guarantees, so he's hungrier than ever. He was reflecting on the last time he took a deal, and what were the words he used? I think he said, I was fooling around, in reference to the last contract he took. And the way I took it was he was fooling around by taking a hometown discount, by being too afraid to hit the open market and by not waiting just, what was it, a year that he had left. And he's not doing that this year. No hometown discounts.
You ready for this? Chris Harris Jr., contract year. Will Parks, contract year. Justin Simmons, contract year. Adam Gotsis, contract year. Derek Wolfe, contract year. Shelby Harris, contract year. The whole damn defense is on a contract year.
If you want to keep going, Todd Davis, not contract year, but he can be cut with $0 wasted next year. What else? Chris Harris, obviously you said that. That's incredible. So what? The two guys you signed this offseason are guys that aren't really playing on their final year, potentially.
And these are things that get overlooked at this time of year. Not here on this podcast, though. But you look back after the season, you're like, wow. All of these six guys had a really good year. Oh, they're all on contract years. Like, we all like to believe that it all stays the same. You know, it's more fun to believe it's not about the money and that these guys just play for the love of the game. And whether there's money on the line or not doesn't affect them. And if they sign a big bonus contract, it doesn't change anything for them. Truth is, for most guys, they're human. And all of those guys that I just mentioned will have an extra edge this year, and I guarantee that. And we might look back at the end of the year and say, holy cow, all of these guys were fantastic. And don't be surprised if that happens.
You want to go on the offensive side of the ball really quick?
Sure.
Emmanuel Sanders, contract year. Garrett Bowles, not a contract year, but playing to show that he should get his fifth-year option picked up, which
is essentially
huge.
A contract year.
Exactly. Ron Leary?
Contract.
Contract year. Connor McGovern? contract year. Juwan James, he's safe. Who, did I miss anyone on the offensive line?
No.
Oh, Dalton Reisner. No, rookie.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Flacco. Not a contract year, but contract he's playing for $48 million this year, at least 24 for next year.
Devontae Booker.
Yep.
Contract year.
Philip Lindsay. He, not a contract year. He's under contract for one more season after this. But if, well, I guess even if he doesn't ball out,
he can negotiate.
He can get a new contract after this year.
It's kind of crazy.
Holy cow.
First of all, it's a little unsettling.
Sure.
Because you're, when you think of next year, because yeah, you're like, oh my God, the whole roster could turn over.
And if you have a fantastic year, people are going to want to get paid and you're not going to be able to keep everyone.
For Vic Fangio, though, maybe, it might actually be comforting.
Absolutely.
He's saying anyone who I don't like doesn't fit in my system, it's going to be really easy to just let them walk.
Yep.
But anyways, a lot of money on the table every time they set foot out there this year,
mm-hmm,
whether it's with the Broncos or someone else. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned Will Parks. Welcome back. Not as if he's been gone, but welcome back to the fold. And this will be my last observation of yesterday. Will is here. All of a sudden, it like a snap of the fingers. And I'm going to write about this today because I spoke with him exclusively for about 8 minutes yesterday, which is long in these terms. He was with the ones. He was making plays. He got the first pick of Joe Flacco in OTAs, just the same way he got the first pick of Case Keenum last year in training camp. He was all over the field, being used in a multitude of ways, both safety positions. And all of a sudden, I'm like, was he hurt? Was something wrong? Then Vic Fangio spoke about him after practice. Now he was asked, but he said only good things. He mentioned that he can play both safety positions, and that's how they're teaching it to him, that he's done a great job. And he said, quote, Vic Fangio doesn't wax poetic about players. This is all two things. One, that he said he's versatile. That was huge in my mind. He also said this: I feel good about Will. And to me, that's like a massive compliment coming from Vic Fangio.
You know who was, outside of Chris getting the $3 million, you know who couldn't have been more happy that Chris was back yesterday?
Will.
Will Parks. Because Chris, in this defense, it's clear what it means. When Chris is in and you have Chris on one side, Bryce Callahan on another, then Vic Fangio feels good. While they're not, those guys aren't on man-on-man islands necessarily, because it's going to be a lot of zone thrown in there too, it just allows him to not focus on the outsides. And so what does he do? He brings in an extra safety, which is Will Parks, and drops Bryce Kareem Jackson in the slot as a linebacker, moves him all over the field. That's going to be Vic Fangio's chess piece this year, is Kareem Jackson. And it's clear that Chris Harris Jr. allows him to do that. And then, hello, number 34.
Wouldn't you have thought it was the opposite?
Yeah.
When Chris Harris Jr. wasn't out there, you would need Kareem at corner, which, yep, would bump up Will into the fold.
And that's why it didn't make sense. You and I are going, okay, something really is going on here.
But all of a sudden, it's the other way around. And you saw it yesterday, and I said this on the radio with my guy, Nate Kreckman. I said the alignment was my biggest takeaway from Chris Harris Jr. being back. Now you see what it looks like. And it looks like Chris, Bryce, and Kareem all up on the line with Justin and Will back. And you don't know what Kareem's doing, because he could be a corner and he could be a safety. And you could be in a three safety look, and you also could be in a three corner look, and it's confusing. But for Will Parks, man, he's back in the old vocabulary when it comes to talking about this defense.
We're going to be seeing it from yesterday. We're going to be seeing him a ton. And boy, don't you like that? If there's questions at inside linebacker, not just with the type of players those guys are, but especially with the fit in this scheme, with questions about being able to cover tight ends and running backs out of the backfield, why not just take one of those guys off and do exactly what Vic Fangio is doing? It makes too much sense, and in the past, it's made too much sense where it's followed that saying where you don't do it. Vic Fangio, it makes so much sense that, you know what? He's doing it.
Last thing I'll say on this, and again, one, make sure to read my observations, read Zach's story on Chris, Like I said, it might sound crazy that I actually wrote about more in my observations than we just talked about here. And we didn't even talk about really what you wrote about, which is Chris Harris and his belief in this defense and whatnot. One little tidbit from my article with Will that should be coming out today or tomorrow. He in college at the University of Arizona, he played outside corner, he played slot corner, he played free safety, and he played strong safety. Now, it doesn't always translate to the NFL, but how about that in terms of versatility?
And Vic loves.
And, of course, Sam Backer.
Right. And Vic loves versatility. And that's the thing that Chris pointed to yesterday was all these guys we have in the secondary, they are all versatile.
Absolutely. And what else is versatile is Strava Craft Coffee, because not only is it coffee, it's also a CBD supplement. It's a CBD-enriched coffee, and it has helped people with all sorts of stuff. We're talking back pain, arthritis, IBS, migraines, anxiety. This stuff is almost miracle coffee. It's an all-natural and non-psychoactive ingredient, CBD is, and the coffee is rich and tasty. Check it out for yourself today and receive 20% off when you use the promo code BSN2019 at checkout, and they'll ship the stuff right to your door. As always, in the second segment, we get to the questions from the listeners, and we got to get to them right away because there are plenty of them today.
First one coming in from Mark IT Snatch. He says, to start, pardon the litany. Blood sausage. Oh, can we go down this road?
That is
you brought blood sausage up yesterday.
I broke the rules. Do as I say, not as I do.
Oh, he says, blood sausage and black pudding are absolutely delicious.
Oh, my God. Why are we doing this?
Does it keep going down this route? They both have a rich flavor and, depending on how they're cooked, a fantastic texture. I've had great and terrible blood sausage, and it definitely comes down to who's cooking it. I understand the squeamishness, but come on, try it. Ryan and I will both try it.
Never said I wouldn't try it.
Exactly.
Pudding, man. That sounds terrible.
It does. It really does. Now he says, on to brighter topics. As for CHJ, let's play a best case scenario. He ages similar to Champ Bailey. While there was a steep decline after he turned 35, he was still effective until then. Guys, that's 5 years for Chris. That's 5 years of competent play, after which you can either pawn him off for an extra draft pick or convert him to safety and let him ride into the glorious orange and blue sunset of retirement. Worst case scenario, like you said, Darrell Revis. If you want to keep him, offer him a ridiculous contract before he tests free agency. 3 years, $16 million per year plus. Play chicken. Push your competition to see what they're willing to pay. If they bite, they're overpaying for a slowly declining older all-pro cornerback. If they don't, you're a career Bronco, a fan favorite. Merch will pay itself if it hasn't already. And depending on Chris, a potential cornerback coach after he retires. Side note, I might be too much of an optimist. He says, he finishes up with, also, I don't care if it's bad for you. A nice glass of cold water settles the stomach and tastes great. Since your body has to work to warm it up, congratulations, you're burning calories.
Love it.
Win-win.
Love it. Great take. Great take on water. Bad take on Chris Harris Jr. Don't try and play that game.
We call that a bloody take.
We call it... Where I'm from, we call that a paddle raiser.
I know where you're going.
Someone at one of those charity events who's just trying to up the price to get more money for the charity. Sometimes you get caught with egg on your face, though, because you raise, like, they're like, we're going 6,000, 6,000. Do we have 6,000? You raise it up.
And then you're the guy.
Like, 6,500. 6,500. Do we have 6,500? And now you're down $6,000.
And you just ran out of the building.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no, you guys must have the wrong number. Definitely wasn't me. I don't even have $6,000 to my name. So, yeah, don't be a paddle raiser.
So what do you do? Do you just let him walk?
You make him an offer that you're comfortable with. And if he doesn't like it, then you let him walk.
If you make him an offer before free agency... and he doesn't like it, he's going to be offended. He's going to be turned off. He's going to say, worst case, I'll take that same number from someone else. What if you just don't give him an offer at all? And then here's what's going to happen with Chris. So he's going to ball out this year. He's going to hit free agency. He's going to sign day one or day two for a massive deal. And then if you're John Elway, you may look a little silly for not offering him anything. But here's the other side to that. Let's say the market just does not treat him like he expects. $11 million is what he's getting offered. Then the Broncos swoop in and say, Chris, we'd love to have you back. We were waiting for this time. We'll, you know, they won't say we'll match any offer you get, but they'll know what's going on. And they'll say, here's 3 years, $11 million, 25 of it guaranteed.
You know who holds the key to Chris having any chance of coming back here?
Who?
Isaac Yiadom.
Mm.
And it's not, he doesn't have any control over it if he has it his way. Because his way is he plays well. And I'm not even saying great. He plays well. Just enough for Vic Fangio and staff to say, Isaac Yiadom, he is a passable player. If that's the answer, then they will be fine going forward with Bryce Callahan and Kareem Jackson when needed and Isaac Yiadom and maybe even the Boz. If Isaac Yiadom stays on the same place that he was last year, which is wants to be good, can't figure out how to be good, then there's a little more pressure on the Broncos. But I think with this system being the way it is and not telling a corner you got to make every play out there, just it's really telling the corner be in the right place. And if Isaac Yiadom can do that, the Broncos are probably going to say, we don't need Chris Harris Jr.
What if Bryce Callahan outplays Chris this year? And you're saying...
Probably get more opportunities to make plays.
And you're saying, we got number one cornerback for $7 million. Plus, we see the improvement in Isaac Yiadom. Yeah, sorry, Chris. We're not paying you 11, 10, 12, 13 plus.
Exactly. Next one here is from Nick Gilbert, 93. He says, good day to you both. Jerseys. First couple I can remember were a TD30 jersey and a nice number 14 Brian Greasy jersey.
Mm.
He says, tell me why I grew up idolizing him. It was your formative years, and he was the starting quarterback of the Broncos.
I wonder if there's any kids that were idolizing Trevor besides me.
Probably. Yeah, I think a lot of kids thought Trevor Siemian was cool.
Exactly. He was cool.
Poor kids. he says, two framed pictures and a jersey of the 2000 Pro Bowler when it comes to Brian Greasy.
Wow.
He said, I always told people I recall Terrell Davis running wild and Brian Greasy as the quarterback as my first few Broncos memory. Oh, well, on to 2019. Hashtag lock for MVP.
I love that. Next one coming in from H-Town Bronco. Starting very similar as Nick did. He says, g'day, fellas. It has been a while since I have commented, and I feel like now is a good time to jump back in. Jerseys. My first ever jersey I got when I was in second grade. Brian Greasy jersey. Are these two like twin brothers?
I had a Brian Greasy jersey.
When'd you get yours?
Second grade seems about, it's probably like fourth.
Okay.
All I remember about it is it was Adidas, and I don't understand why.
Wasn't that right in the time?
I don't think Adidas ever did the NFL jerseys.
Really? I think they did, and I think Nike got them just like 10 years ago?
No, it was Reebok before that.
Oh, wow. That's a valuable one.
Yeah, I guess there was like a weird, maybe there's like a merch deal where Reebok didn't have the exclusive rights to make merch.
Wow.
I don't know.
That would never happen these days.
Definitely not. Maybe there was a year where they had them and I don't know, but that's all I remember about it.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's very unique. He says, I've since had a Champ Peyton Von Miller Super Bowl MVP edition with the patch, the blue jersey, my favorite. Last year, I got a Bradley Chubb jersey, and this year, I plan on snagging a Philip Lindsay one. And I'm also with Ryan. I keep them all. Still have the Greasy jersey. My daughter wears it to bed sometimes. Aww. LOL.
Aww.
He says, really quick on the jerseys. You know how some people, and it was more than just a commenter yesterday, some people hate on people over, what, 13 wearing jerseys?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of the Broncos that weren't at Topgolf yesterday went to the Rockies game. A lot of those guys were wearing Rockies jerseys. So if you're going to say it to, you know, an accountant who's 40 that he can't wear it, you got to keep the same rules and say, Bradley Chubb, take off that Rockies jersey, which that's why I'm not saying it.
Nolan Arenado is what he was rocking.
Yep.
And by the way, picture from the locker room comes out. It's Kyle Freeland hanging out with Emmanuel Sanders and Joe Flacco. You know what Kyle Freeland was wearing? Not just another man's name on him. Mm. He's wearing another man's face on his chest.
And hair.
and his hair. That's because he was wearing the homegrown Phil jersey or shirt, the BSN shirt in the locker room.
Man, Kyle is the absolute best. And you know what Kyle shows? He shows that no matter who you are, you can always be rocking BSN gear.
Absolutely. Cannot agree anymore.
H-Town Bronco then says, quick question. I'll be in Denver June 22nd to July 5th. Any BSN events going on? I doubt it, but worth an ask. Or just events, feel free to throw suggestions my way.
You should go to a fireworks show on July 4th.
Mm.
It's a pretty unique event here.
Coors Field throws a pretty gnarly fireworks show.
The only event I can think of is me going to Cabo.
Ah. Man, right as H-Town Bronco comes in, Ryan leaves.
I got to avoid him. Weird, greasy fans out here. No, nothing yet, but we will certainly keep you up to date with any BSN events that are going on. Next one here is from Cleavers83. It says, hey guys, to chime in on the Chris Harris Jr. contract news, per Rappaport, the deal isn't as crazy as I thought before reading the tweet. It said to get 12.05 mil, he basically was given $600,000 to sign, $650,000 to show up to the first practice, and a $1 million roster bonus plus his base salary that he already had. Seeing the number spelled out like that, I felt like we didn't really have to affect the cap at all, so why not make Chris happy if all you need to do is give cash that isn't even yours?
Well, it's $3 million is basically what it boils down to. I guess Cleavers likes to see it split up between a few bonuses and an additional $1 million thrown that way. But, Ryan, we were so against it when it was $15 million, when it was doubling his salary, and then you're taking away a starter for next year, and he's vanishing just to get the same player, just giving extra money doesn't really make sense, but neither you or I have said, what a terrible move.
Zach, what weighs more, a 1,000-pound bag of bricks or a 1,000-pound bag of feathers?
They weigh the same.
Yes, they do. It doesn't matter how you get to $3 million, it's still $3
million. Exactly. Vertical Socks says, vertical socks is indeed a reference to the vertically striped socks of the Broncos' first uniforms. Holy cow. Vertically striped socks just sounded too ponderous for a username. Mike Kliss tweeted this after.
He should have called himself Vertical Stripes.
Vertical Stripes. Vertical. Well, I would have never thought back to those socks.
They're so great. Remember when they wore them for the 50-year anniversary and Brandon Marshall would, like, twist them up his legs so they're like swirly.
Yeah, they need to bring those back.
They're so ugly, but in a very endearing way.
Exactly. Vertical socks. Why did you not go with brown and yellow, kind of ugly vertical socks?
Mustard and brown.
I guess he didn't want that to his name, which I would understand. He says, Kliss tweeted this afternoon, Joe Flacco remains Broncos' best quarterback by far, but Kevin Hogan has been the next best. Is this just an overreaction to Hogan having his best day so far at practice, or has Hogan really been the second best quarterback at OTAs?
I'm going to go with the former, Zach. an overreaction to Hogan having his best day, and it's not as if he was lighting up the field. It was just completing passes.
And add on to it, someone asked Vic Fangio after practice about Kevin Hogan and being the second guy. And Vic said, Kevin is as good as I've ever seen him. And, you know, fair, the last time I saw him was a few years ago. So, Ryan, Kevin Hogan, this is just facts. He has pretty much the same stats in real NFL games as Paxton Lynch. So how hard is it to be better as a veteran than those stats and what Vic is remembering from the past? But they come across as Kevin Hogan's the best I've ever seen him.
Let me ask you this, Zach. If you were planning on someone being your number two quarterback, would you play him in practice when you go with the second team offense against the number one team defense? Would you want to play your second string quarterback then or your third string quarterback then?
I don't want to play my second string.
And I'll let you guys deduct where I'm going with this. One of the quarterbacks has been getting those reps against the first team defense when they go twos versus ones.
Very good.
One of them has been getting those reps.
And he's got a cannon of an arm.
All right. This is from Bleed Orange Blue. He said, did you guys see Emmanuel Sanders taking batting practice at Coors Field? I guess he's almost 100%. I would like swinging a baseball bat puts some tension and torque on your Achilles. I think he was saying, I would think swinging a baseball bat puts some tension and torque on your Achilles.
Ryan, we've said it for a few weeks now. Emmanuel looks great. Great. And Ryan, he was working out in front of us yesterday. Now, not wearing a helmet or pads. He was not practicing, but he was working out, running, doing some plants, which are encouraging to see. So, he was so close to us that he just came and said hello, shook our hands, chatted up for a few minutes. He was in a great mood. He's feeling great, clearly, and he looks great.
Such a politician. Such a politician.
Wise man.
Bleed Orange and Blue says, what's the difference between Vietnamese pho? I call it, I know how it's pronounced. I refuse to say it that way because I feel like it makes me sound like a D-bag.
Pho?
Yeah. So I just, I can't say it that way. I'm just like a white boy. I'm not saying it that way.
That was the first time I've ever said it that way, even though I have known how to say it.
Felt bad, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
So no disrespect at all. I understand how it is. I just feel like it's more disrespectful for me to try and say it the right way and just sound like a bag.
You sound like me now, and I appreciate that.
All right. He says, what's the difference between that and ramen? I hear people talk about ramen, and it sounds like pho.
I feel
bad saying it both ways now. don't talk about it anymore.
It is the same, right?
No. I believe the Vietnamese dish you are referring to, that I'm not going to call by name, is served with really hot water,
okay,
and it turns into broth by what you're cooking in it.
Okay.
Whereas ramen, first of all, uses ramen noodles, which I don't think they use in that.
Right.
I think they use rice noodles.
Right.
Is cooked with a broth.
Mm.
Now, not top ramen, except for that little seasoning packet does kind of turn it into a chicken broth.
Yep.
I believe that is one main difference. I would venture to guess that the Vietnamese dish is healthier, whereas this has more like oils,
right,
and other things, where that's just kind of like meat, some jalapenos maybe, whatever else you're using to kind of like spice up the dish, but it's not quite as like flavorful. Whereas the ramen, you're getting those like thicker noodles, and a lot of stuff put into the broth to make it like really pop.
Welcome to your cultural lesson of the day, presented to you by Ryan.
Presented to you by
Elixinol?
Elixinol. I'm trying to think of some brand that has culture in it.
The BSM Broncos podcast.
There you go. All right, from Bearded Bronco. He says, good afternoon, my dudes. You guys are hilarious. We listen to you guys try to figure out who we are and what we're about with so little information. You guys are awesome. I really enjoy listening and now participating as a subscriber, and we're really happy to have you with us. He says, Bearded Bronco has two references. One, I do now have a full beard and in the process of growing it into the 6-inch off the chin beard you mentioned yesterday.
Do we believe it?
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He says, I was watching some videos on DenverBroncos.com and realized that my current beard looks like Tyler Palumbus's.
Okay, that's a good reference point.
That is a good beard. He says, a much more simple reason is my last name is Beard.
There we go.
that makes a lot of sense. He says, I have two Broncos jerseys. My go-to is TD, and I have a Peyton Manning, which I got in a silent auction. That is the worst spelling of Peyton I've ever seen in my life. We still love you, though. He says, Ryan, I know you mentioned that you have to use the community grills if you want to grill some food. Do you have a balcony? If you do, you might want to look into a Traeger. I ditched the regular old barbecue grill with a propane or charcoal and purchased a Traeger wood pellet convection grill and smoker.
Okay, Bearded Bronco does work for Traeger.
Traeger.
Traeger, yes.
And that was a slight flex. He says, one of the best purchases I ever made. Surprisingly, two of my favorite things to cook on the grill are nachos and pizza. My wife started buying these gluten-free frozen pizza from Costco. I threw one on the grill and was amazed that a frozen pizza, gluten-free nonetheless, could taste so good. It was like it was cooked in a wood-burning oven. Perfect crust all around and under, and the nachos are equally amazing.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but Ryan, have you ever seen one? Do you know about these?
These pizzas?
The Traegers.
Oh, yeah. My stepdad is obsessed with grills. He has like 7.
Yeah, my brother loves it. Life-changing.
I'm telling you, at my parents' house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 7 grills.
Wow.
Seven grills.
Are they ever at all used at the same time?
Definitely not. But he's awesome. Love him. He is just obsessed with having the right grill for exactly what you're making. And so he'll be like, oh, we're having a tenderloin. Like, it can only go on this type of grill.
That is amazing. Or, so you have the best meat.
He's like, oh, we're going to smoke this, but it can only be smoked in the pit barrel. Like, you can't smoke it in that type of smoker. It's just different. You have to do it. And I'm like, all right, man. It's his thing.
What does the Iowa beef cook on?
Couldn't tell you. But Traeger, there's definitely a couple of them in the mix. And there's the pit barrel. There's the green egg. Like, it's wild. But I love it. It's his thing. He's all in on it.
Next one from Bronco Biker 5280 says, hey guys, I wanted to throw in my thoughts on jersey discussion. My first was a Carl Mecklenburg. These days, at the apparently too old age of 38, I'm rocking a custom number 13 jersey that my old lady got me with my own last name on it.
So it's Biker on the back? Because his name is Bronco Biker?
Maybe it's Bronco Biker 5280. That could be his last name.
The number, it's 13. I was going to say the number is 5280.
He says, I was a little too happy when Trevor went away. For the future, I think I might be getting a Derek Wolf. I know his time with the team is limited, but he loves this team to the bone, and he was a major player in the Super Bowl winning defense. Plus, we're both white guys with dreadlocks, so I could always call it cosplay?
Cosplay. Do you know what that is?
No.
Of course you don't. Cosplay is short for costume play. And it's essentially these people who... It's not going where you think it is.
Yeah, come on. Don't be giving me crap for not knowing what this is.
It's essentially... There's like conventions where people go and some people dress up as like Wonder Woman. Some people dress up as Game of Thrones characters. Like whatever it is, it's the act of getting into costume, but not like a costume that you would just buy down the store. Like these people like put hours and hours into making perfect costumes.
Have you ever heard of, I think it's called furries?
Okay, we're not going down that road today.
It's where my head went.
I know it is. I saw the look on your eyes. No, it's, I mean, maybe there is other layers to it, but it's more about like putting together really cool costumes.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. And you know what? Derek Wolf is one where he's not a John Elway where the jersey is evergreen and everyone has it. But Derek Wolf is probably a good one to get if you want to be under the radar. And that'll be good forever.
The funniest thing about Derek Wolf having dreads is he doesn't live the lifestyle that you would expect or have the views or any of that you would expect from a white guy with dreads. Like growing up in Boulder, I saw plenty of white guys with dreads. Yep. And they are very, very, very different from the way that Derek Wolf approaches life. I don't know where Bronco Biker falls in on the spectrum.
Very different. And also, if you've just seen the dreads coming out of his helmet, you got to look at a picture of what it's not just a full head of dreads. It's very uniquely artistically designed.
Gotta love it, I think.
Oh yeah.
All right, this one's really cool. I read it last night.
Wait, really quick, he says, put your brats in a smoker with hickory chips, 225 degrees for 2 hours.
You think I have 2 hours to cook a brat? I don't even have time for a 7-minute soak with my cereal. I'm sure it's great. And I'm not hating in that sense. When I'm thinking of cooking brat, when I'm thinking of cooking any meal, I'm already starving. It's one of the—I think it's one of my last steps into becoming a grown-up. Thinking about what to eat and making a decision before I'm hungry. I think it helps you eat healthier too. But for me, it's like, oh man, some brats sound good on the grill right now. I don't even like waiting for the grill to heat up.
You don't even have the brats.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. I got to go to the store. Then I got to come back and warm up the grill. This is already like a 30-minute process, and I am pissed by the time that I'm eating these brats.
He says...
By the way, I got to wait for the full char.
Exactly. Oh, man. I feel like a brat...
You're not getting the char in the smoker.
No, you're not.
Maybe you throw them on and get a char afterwards.
I'd like that. I feel like doing it in the smoker would make them ultra wrinkly without any char. If I'm going to get the wrinkle, give me the char.
I've never seen wrinkly brats.
I can cook you up some.
I only see the dogs get wrinkly.
It's if you let them cool. So like when I go back for my second, it's been sitting there. It's almost shriveled through the little cracks because I keep it long ways.
Stop doing the long ways thing.
He says, kind of on the same topic, he says, can I assume Zach has never had a microwavable burrito? No.
What?
Of course I've had a microwavable
burrito. Oh, okay.
Burrito.
I thought you were going to say, yeah. No, you haven't.
No, you can't assume that.
A microwavable burrito is essentially a Hot Pocket.
It's the Mexican version of a Hot Pocket.
I wonder if they have, like, Mexican food flavors of Hot Pockets. Can't say I've ever had, like, a taco pocket.
What? They should, right? If there's Mexican pizza.
I bet you they have, like, steak fajita or something like that.
Yep, exactly.
All right, we move on. And like I said, this one's cool. I read it last night. He says, hey, guys. So I know there's some NASCAR fans, and there are some not NASCAR fans that listen here, and he points me out as a non-NASCAR fan, though I've always said I would love to go to one. He says, I'll be doing the flyover at the Quaker State 400 at Kentucky Motor Speedway on July 13th. How dope is that?
I just got chills. That's so cool.
I really want to go. July 13th. Can we? We still have a week. Oh, you're going to be gone.
Yeah. I mean, we could have done a live podcast.
Live podcast from the infield.
Oh, from Kentucky Motor Speedway.
That's so cool. Congrats. That's awesome.
That is so cool.
He says, also, any Chicago area fans, and I know we have a few, he says, I'll be doing an air show display on August 17th and 18th.
That's awesome.
You guys really should get out there and go support 702 Pilot. Anyways, he says, now on to football. I'm fine with Chris leaving next year. I think we should draft a safety with Simmons re-signed and move Kareem back to corner, and by then our depth will be better, or we could just draft a corner. Question. What has been the intriguing thing that you have seen at OTA so far? Thanks for the coverage.
Oh, boy. We've seen a ton. But really, I want to touch on your idea of moving Kareem around. That probably doesn't make the most sense, because if he's at safety this year, he's probably going to be at safety his third year. So just especially if it works out this year with him at safety. But just remember that he is also moving around. He's going to be playing a lot of slot corner, too. And so I like your plan with drafting a corner. If you need it, like you said, Ryan, in the first segment, you may not need it if Isaac Yiadom can develop.
Wouldn't it be just incredible if one of these third-round picks at corners finally panned out?
I mean, we're not talking seventh-round picks, undrafted guys.
How many have there been?
Just two?
No, there has to be more.
Drafted or third round?
Third round drafted corners. Obviously, Yiadom and Langley.
Yep. We'd have to go back.
Okay, yeah. Torian Nixon and Lorenzo Doss, they were both late round picks.
Right.
So maybe it is just two.
Yeah.
Feels like it's 100.
It really does. Okay, here's a question. This time next year, what side of the ball is Isaac Yiadom playing on?
Oh, man, I hope offense.
Maybe that's where we should be. You hope defense?
No, I hope offense. No, I hope defense. I feel like there's one that's, like, so irrelevant that we can't even remember them.
I think you're probably right.
Who is it? I know you're out there somewhere. I mean, obviously, football. Bradley Roby falls into the miss category.
Yep.
Even though there's the whole Super Bowl thing, which is hard to qualify.
And the fifth-year option was picked up, but not a hit like you want.
We'll call it a half hit.
Yeah, we won't call it a bust.
Call it a single.
There we go.
Double? Is it a double?
He turned the corner hard.
Hard
he
turn. He
rounded the base.
Hard turn. It was in between it was single distance, but in between the outfielders where he thought he might have been able to get two.
Yep, exactly. There was hope.
Yeah, exactly. From Mile High Down Under, good morning to the two. Three today? Great, man. Just two. He says, been a while since a post, so I thought I'd comment. Happy to see the end of the Chris Harris Jr. contact drama. I think we all knew it was going to be resolved, but the sooner the better, or else you'd potentially be stuck with someone like Jamar Taylor, the name of the guy who we forgot on the podcast that one day. He said, yeah, that's the guy. Anyways, been waiting to ask a couple of questions and didn't want to jinx the Chris Harris Jr. situation. Firstly, we know all players move and we deal with it, but where do you stand on a player's legacy with the team if it ends poorly, a la Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh? Do you think their exit impacts how they are viewed long-term in that town/team? Nothing impacts it more.
Le'Veon Bell, that was as bad as it could be. So, yeah, that one certainly impacts it. But
Antonio Brown is the same way.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Those situations are extremes. Now, Demaryius Thomas did not have a good exit from the Broncos. He made it very clear that he didn't like the way he was treated, and then he went out to bash the team on his way out. That's going to be forgotten down the road.
Yes. I don't believe in the saying time heals all wounds, but I do believe time heals most wounds. And that is one wound that will be healed over time. Also, yeah. Most of his shots were at Vance Joseph, and people aren't can't really be mad about that anyways. But, I mean, look at – I think the perfect example is Carmelo Anthony. It wasn't necessarily a nasty exit on his part. In fact, he did the Nuggets a favor by telling them a year in advance that he wasn't going to re-sign with them, so they should trade him. And even then – he's not even – Nuggets fans don't even really want to acknowledge him as one of the greatest Nuggets of all time. Now, he is. He's not the greatest number 15 of all time in the Nuggets anymore, though. But no one – like, there's no love for Carmelo. In fact, you can't even really wear a Carmelo jersey to a Nuggets game.
Yeah.
So there's a very fine line. Essentially, don't make it known that you don't want to be there.
Right.
And you'll be fine on your way out.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm not worried about Chris – not being able to come back here or anything.
No, the Chris Harris Jr. jersey will be chill forever.
Yes.
All right, so secondly, on players who have left this offseason, who do you think will have the greatest impact in their new surroundings or landed in the best spot for them to help you out? Case is in Washington. Shane Ray is with the Ravens. Jordan Taylor is in Minnesota. Shaq is in Tampa Bay. Max Garcia is in Arizona. Said, good luck to your boy, Ryan, if this guy's a required player. Paradis is in Carolina. Roby is in Houston. So you're telling me you pretty much traded Roby for Jackson. Almost doesn't seem fair. Turner is with the Packers. Lacoste is with the Pats. And Brandon Marshall is with, of course, he says he can't type it, it's the Raiders.
Boy, who's in the best situation to have the greatest impact?
I have mine pretty easy.
I'm going Shaq.
Same.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a baller. He could have been a starter. What, from his second year on here?
Yeah, he's the best player out of any of those people.
Exactly.
So that seems easy to me.
And good for Tampa. I think $5 million for Shaq is a steal.
It's 1 year, though, which is unfortunate for Shaq, but I think he'll end up making money on this.
Exactly.
So who would you put second? I'll say Paradis.
Yeah, second best player.
Yep. He says... also, have loved college football for the longest time, but never felt myself attached to any team. So count me in as a Buffs fan from now on. Why effing not? Hashtag go Buffs.
There you go. New coach, new energy.
Best player in the country on the team.
There you go. But actually, top 10 pick next year.
Yeah, for sure, top 10 pick. You are going to love Laviska Shenault. He will enthrall you from the start. And especially for people who... don't like the college football because it's not like the NFL. Well, he literally could have started on Sundays last year as a true sophomore, so he's an NFL player.
Will you love him when the Raiders draft him in the first round next year?
He would look dope in that jersey, let's be honest. The Raiders, I mean, I can't hate. The Raiders jerseys are dope.
Him and Antonio Brown.
That's dangerous unless it's Derek Carr throwing to them. All right, before we move on here, I want to tell you about our friends over at Weinster. Weinster is an innovative online direct-to-consumer wine club connecting wine drinkers with more than 110 of the best wineries in America. What makes Weinster special is that the majority of the wineries they work with are too small to attract the attention of retailers, meaning not only are you getting access to some delicious and hard-to-find wines, you're also supporting real people making real wine, not one of the few large corporations producing most of the wines available in stores. With Weinster, all you got to do is sit back and relax as they curate a hand-picked shipment from the best small wine producers in the U.S. Then, when you fall in love with a couple wines, as a club member, you can have them sent right back to your door with no shipping costs at all. And I love Weinster because it was founded by three CU Buffs. Sign up today with the promo code BSN25 and get $25 off your first shipment of wine and start being a real grown-up. That's Weinster, W-I-N-E-S-T-Y-R, and I really want you guys to support Weinster. It's one of the coolest companies out there, and they've partnered with us, which makes them even cooler, and you will not regret getting the wines that they offer because every single one I've had was fantastic, and I'm not even like a connoisseur, but I feel like I'm turning into one just by enjoying all of these great and hard-to-find wines.
You ready for some speed round of questions, Ryan?
Let's do it.
First one coming in from Cole Vocelli says, hey guys, when you guys started talking about Marquette King, you reminded me of the last jersey I was planning on getting before the Texans game. BMAC, what are your thoughts on special teams jerseys in general?
No.
So, Jason Elam, no?
No.
Can't even be an all-time great.
Even my favorite number. Still no.
Wow.
Come on. There's nothing cool about special teams.
What if you turned your old Jay Cutler 6 jersey into a... help me out here. Name slip in my head. The punter.
Oh, Wadman.
Wadman, yes.
I thought you were trying to come up with some play on words based on the letters in Cutler.
Oh, no, no. Wadman. He's wearing 6 now. Looks like Jay Cutler.
He does. From Bronco Joe, form Cali?
There you go. From Cali, maybe?
I think it's supposed to be from Cali, but okay. It's pronounced form. Hey, guys. Won't be my first comment on the pod, but it will be my first since becoming a subscriber. Hey. Welcome in. My first Broncos jersey was a Brandon Marshall number 15. It was a surprise give on my 12th birthday from my dad. He might even be younger than us.
Welcome.
I was shocked because my dad is a diehard 49er fan and always hated my love for the Broncos. My pops is a true football vet, so of course he got a couple sizes bigger, and it still fits to this day.
Nice.
As for the subject of the Broncos, you went to high school with, I went to high school with Booker at Grant Union High in Sacramento. Go Pacers. Unfortunately, Booker is 1 year older than me, and my last year on JV, he won state with varsity. I can't complain too much. We were a top 3 team in the state my last 2 years, but I never got one of those giant rings Booker did. So, yeah, listening to the Denver media, including you guys, bash him all last season was not the easiest thing.
Whoa. Devontae's been my guy.
I don't think so.
He's a good 3.
I'll give you that. So I believe RK's comment was about me was, quote, "This must be Booker's brother" or something. Oh, I remember this now. I remember this Twitter interaction. Well, I've only known him since Pop Warner football at the age of 8, so maybe you guys can understand why I cringe every time Ryan calls him. Just a guy. I'm sorry. He's just, that's what he is.
He turned 27 yesterday. Happy birthday to Devontae Booker.
Shout out to people who are 27.
So there we go. Bronco Joe, 26, 25.
Just a little bit younger than us, like I said. I know you guys don't agree, but I fully believe he's better than Freeman. Oh, man. You're really killing me here. I hope he gives his chance to prove it this season. Hey, at least I don't have to hear you guys talk about his 3.4 yards per carry as he put that narrative to bed last season with limited snaps. Also, hot pockets are terrible. Don't do it.
Thank you. Thank you, Bronco Joe. I was thinking about them yesterday while driving on I-25. The thought's out of my head now. Thanks to Bronco Joe from Cali.
Oh, man. He's a good 3. Good 3. He's not better than Royce Freeman.
Yes, he is.
Stop. Don't mislead the people.
No, he's not.
Okay, there you go. Unless you believe it. You want to present a case?
No. Okay. He does look good coming out of the backfield, though, even now. I noticed that yesterday.
He had a drop, but other than that, he was solid.
Don't say he's just a guy.
But that's what he is.
Next one coming in from Bronco Ducky says, "What's up, guys? My first Bronco jersey was Terrell Davis. Also, my all-time favorite Bronco. I've always thought jerseys are a fun way to show support for your team. While watching practice, have you guys noticed Reisner playing multiple positions or just left guard at this point? Just curious to see what combo comes out in week 1. Can't wait for the season."
Yeah, he was there yesterday, and one thing we didn't mention about our observations is that Ron Leary was also on the field. Now, it was limited, but he got in on the 11-on-11, which was the first time we've seen that.
Yeah, and Reisner is staying put right now. Vic Fangio said he wants him there for at least a week of OTAs. I've just seen him in that position still. It'll be interesting next time we get to talk to Vic next week, especially when we get to watch all 3 practices. Maybe they're moving him around more often than we get to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next one here comes in from Chris O'Brien. He says, "Chad Kelly is long gone, and Rippon is here to fill his role as a low-cost slash potential upside quarterback. I still root for Kelly and would like to see him succeed in the league, though. Do you guys think he makes the roster in Indianapolis? They've got a pretty crowded quarterback room over there."
Ryan, name me the quarterbacks out in Indianapolis.
All right, we've got Andrew Luck.
Neckbeard,
not to be confused with Andrew Locke, who's here in Denver. Yes. They've got, they don't have Jacoby Brissett. They have Brissett. They have Brissett.
Nah, they do.
They still have Brissett.
Well, that is pretty loaded.
Who else do they have?
Chad Kelly.
Well, yes.
I am pulling.
Didn't they draft someone too?
I have no idea. Here we go.
Babe. Oh, no. They wanted to pick up a guy as an undrafted free agent, but then he found out Chad Kelly was coming and he didn't want to go anymore.
Mm.
It had nothing to do with competition. He just really didn't like Chad Kelly. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Brissett, Philip Walker.
Yes.
From the great college of? Starts with the T.
Tennessee.
Temple. Temple. He's 5'11", though. So,
wow.
Chad Kelly's bigger.
Prototypical. Anyways, do you think he makes the roster amidst that tough competition?
Yes.
I think he's
in the organization is what I'll say.
Like, can they practice squad him?
I think so. Yeah.
Someone in Indy wrote like a column today.
Oh, no, maybe not. Sorry, continue.
No, he did. He wrote a column.
No, he did not.
Someone in Indy today wrote a column like saying like it's BS how many chances Chad Kelly's gotten, and I can't really disagree.
No. When you're a Kelly and you have talent, you'll get that. Well, not just a Kelly, but an Elway or whatever.
Yeah.
A name.
And also white.
Mm. Oh. Yep.
Just leave it at that.
Yep.
From Carrick's 4. Hey, guys, no questions today, but I figured I'd chime in on jerseys. First off, I had never even considered buying a Peyton Manning jersey for the simple reason I still don't consider him primarily a Bronco, as most of his career was with the Colts. How do you feel about this take?
Carrick's, I love you, but I hate this take. And, you know, non-Broncos. I'm surprised Carrick feels this way because non-Broncos fans, when a Broncos fan points to something Peyton did here, they're like, yeah, but he's a Colt. Like, everyone else views him as a Colt. He won a freaking Super Bowl here.
Hey, Zach, where does Peyton Manning live?
Denver.
Where does Peyton Manning go to record his ESPN series detail?
This room.
Potentially. Probably gets a little better room than this one. But he comes here. Which team does Peyton Manning attend double-digit games of every season?
The Broncos.
So, what we can surmise from these facts is that Peyton Manning believes he's a Bronco.
Mm.
And that's good enough for me.
Yep.
If he went, and I wouldn't have blamed him for this. If he went back to Indianapolis,
sure.
Got a suite there, you know, was hanging out there every week, I would say, you know, you got to respect that. He spent most of his career
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. He loves this organization, even though there was some... As there always is. It's never amicable when it ends. It's never perfect when it ends. I shouldn't say amicable. It was amicable. It's never perfect when it ends.
Did he get to choose to be a Colt?
No.
Did he get to choose to be a Bronco?
Sure did.
Did he get to choose to stay a Bronco?
Sure did.
Mm. Thanks for bringing that clarity. That was a great argument.
Thank you. Felt really good coming out. So anyways, yeah.
But we still love you, Carrick's 4.
We do. And here's the cherry on top for me. He won a Super Bowl. As a quarterback of the Denver Broncos. He's a Bronco. He's not only a Bronco, he is a great Bronco forever.
Yep.
Period. I'm just kidding.
And we're done with the podcast.
You know what? Just end it. He says, with this said, I got my first jersey in 2012 with my dad, and he immediately picked a Manning jersey. But I hadn't started following football that closely because the Tebow year made me start watching, so I still didn't know many players. I ended up going with a white Vaughn jersey, even though I didn't know much about him. My grandpa had just passed, and I remembered him raving about how good this kid was, so I chose Vaughn because he was my grandpa's favorite. That's a really cool story.
Man, yeah, and your grandpa was right on. He hooked you up with a fantastic jersey.
Sure was. He said, over the next few years, I acquired a Sanders, Harris, and DT, and far more now. Wow. But for Super Bowl 50, I was wearing that white Vaughn jersey, so I think I made the right choice. Sorry for the long post. Without a question, but just wanted to chime in on the jersey thing. Keep up the good work, guys, and hopefully soon more Henry.
Thanks, Carrick. Man, you've got quite the jersey selection now from just starting a few years ago.
There are some people that have like dozens. Like, have you ever seen the pictures of people like laying them all out on their bed? I'm like, wow, that is a legitimate investment.
It's a lot of cash.
It is. At least it's not hockey jerseys.
Oh.
Like twice the cost of football jerseys.
You mean sweaters.
Sweaters, yes. And that's one good thing about hockey sweaters is you can actually wear them to stay warm.
Exactly. Ryan, final one here coming from Dropswitch says...
This is a buzzer beater, by the way.
This is a buzzer beater. He says, what did you guys have for lunch today?
Nothing.
Nothing. No, not lunch yet, it but it's lunchtime.
12:30 at press time.
You guys should be feeding us.
12:30 at press time. I have had a grand total of 2... spoonfuls of peanut butter today.
Again? Yeah. Again? That's what he did yesterday.
I need to go grocery shopping.
And right about this time, he was complaining about how he hadn't had food yet.
No, it was more like 2. when I was complaining.
That's true. That's true. I shouldn't say complaining, Ryan. You never complain.
I'm still on my appetite suppressant from my venti iced blonde Americano.
I have had plain yogurt with frozen wild blueberries. Those are the small ones. Mixed them in, topped it with some almond pecan granola.
God. You should be a Portland Trailblazers fan.
Whoa. Now we're done with the podcast.
What does he finish with?
He says, so with Fangio inheriting a better team than John Fox did, should we expect the Broncos to be a wild card team? Question for Broncos country. First, we'll start with that.
Remember, they went 8-8.
Right.
So you might be able to expect that. That is the ultimate backing into the playoffs of all time.
And don't forget, there was divine intervention.
Have I told the story of how I tried to sell tickets to that playoff game?
No.
Okay, I'll get to that story. But first of all, one of the craziest coincidences just occurred. And I swear to you, did you know he was here?
I knew he was here, yeah.
I had no clue. I had no clue he was in the building. But just seconds, literally seconds after I just made my case that you described as eloquent for Peyton Manning and why he's a Bronco, including the fact that he's always hanging around the Broncos, got a tap on our door here at the podcast room to let us know that Peyton Manning was here and that one of us was going to be able to go talk to him. So just literally right before I told that story, we stopped, went out there, talked to Peyton for about 20 minutes with a couple of the other reporters here, and learned a lot of really interesting stuff. Definitely stay tuned to BSN Denver later today for a fantastic story from Peyton Manning on Vic Fangio. That's all I'll give you guys. Mm. And he also said he wasn't contacted about the Jets GM job. Wasn't the right time for him for Monday Night Football. He's working as a volunteer assistant for his kids' teams right now. A lot of really, really good stuff from Peyton. So, again, stay tuned to BSN Denver. We'll have some of that. And that was pretty cool. First time I ever actually got to shake Peyton Manning's hand.
What do you do if you're the coach of a youth sports team and the volunteer assistant is Peyton Manning?
Same thing you do if you're the coach of an NFL team and the quarterback is Peyton Manning.
Here you
go. Get the hell out of the way. Get the hell out of the way and let the man do his thing. But anyways, why is Peyton Manning a Bronco? Because that type of stuff. So yep. That was pretty cool.
Wonder if, who was it? Karch? Kirch?
Arch?
No.
What are you talking about?
No, Carrick's 4 will now get a Peyton Manning jersey.
I mean, that's really the question that we were on.
Yep, exactly.
That is crazy. Anyways, I was telling the Tebow story.
Yes.
Okay, so quickly, because we got to get out of here. Bought tickets to the playoff game in which Tebow,
Pittsburgh.
Steelers, yep. That whole thing. Well before. Found out I had to leave the state. Thought, oh, well, I'll make a bunch of money off of these tickets. Broncos playoff tickets. I got them for like $100. I'll be able to sell them for like $300, whatever. I was 18. Maybe 19. I don't know. Put them up, and no one is buying because this is right after the game where they lose, 9-7
yep.
or something
yep.
to the Chiefs. They're backing into the playoffs. They're 8-8. Tebow mania is still a thing, but a lot of people aren't believing they're going to be able to do anything in the playoffs because they just had an embarrassing loss to end the season. I believe, was it Kyle Orton who started the game for the Chiefs that day?
Was it? Yeah, I think it was.
So,
no. He was still on the team. Kyle Orton was still on the Broncos.
He was?
Yeah. Because that's who Tebow replaced, right?
Right, but I thought they traded him or cut him.
I don't think so.
I think so.
The same year?
I think so.
Wow.
We'll have to look it up. But he did go to the Chiefs and played a game against the Broncos.
He did, yeah.
I think it was that one.
Wow.
Maybe not, though. Anyways, I end up selling the tickets for $40. Just to get something off. Like, that's how bad the secondary market was for tickets to that game. And I'm sure 250,000 people now tell the story that they were there somehow, some way.
Your boy, one of them.
You could have got in. You could have got in for $40 that day.
Wow.
To see one of the greatest moments of Broncos history.
That is insane. You were out of town?
Yeah, I was out of town.
Man, I was hoping you were going to cash. You had a little smile going across your face during the story. I thought you were going to say someone swooped in for like $1,500.
You want to know what really sucks? Is I got an offer for $175 the first day.
It's like deal or no deal.
Right. Turned it down.
The
regret is palpable.
Still?
The thing I regret most is just, why didn't I just stay in town? You know, like I should have just canceled my plans.
Yep.
And stayed in town. But anyways, that's the Tebow story, of course, which perfectly leads into Peyton Manning becoming a Bronco. If Tim Tebow can go 8-8, Peyton Manning can go 13-3, and the rest is history.
Exactly.
So, I believe that's going to wrap it up for us today.
We got to finish the final question from Drop Switch.
My apologies.
He said, the question about Fangio. Should the Broncos be better than Fox was? Oh, and that to all tied right, into Tebow and everything. In, yeah. So he finishes with, question for Broncos country. What made you guys a Broncos fan? Maybe this today made you a Broncos fan. Peyton just continually showing up here.
Yeah, let's hear your stories. You can chime in kind of like your first jersey story.
Drop Switch says, I had a love for horses when I was a little boy, so my dream car was a Mustang, and that love led me to the Broncos in elementary school. I went to my first Broncos game 2 years ago against the Chargers in the season opener. We won that game, luckily. Cheers.
Awesome story. Again, let's hear it. Give us your story, and maybe even throw in how you discovered BSN in there, and just for, you know, extra little bonus.
Love it.
All right, that will wrap it up for us today. Like I said, you don't want to miss what's coming to BSNDenver.com later. Really great stuff. So tune in and make sure you get that URL dialed to BSNDenver.com. Make sure you subscribe so you can check this type of stuff out. Anyways, we will talk to you tomorrow on the BSN Broncos podcast. Later. It's getting me down, waiting up for you.
It's Allie and Lindsay here, and we want to talk to you about our new favorite wine subscription.
It is Winestir. The best thing about Winestir is that they work with small wineries.
You know BSN loves supporting small local businesses, and Winestir is just that, supporting real people making real wine.
These guys will curate a hand-picked shipment for you from the best small wine producers in the U.S.
So my favorite part about Winestir is the fact that I don't really know much about wine, and when I go to a liquor store, I tend to gravitate towards the same wine I've always had instead of trying something new. But with Winestir, they make the process so easy.
That's exactly right, Allie. And from my perspective, you guys, I love wine and have tried so many different types of wine at different price points. And Winestir is not only easy, but it is quite literally some of the best wine I've ever tasted, and it makes for an amazing gift.
What's also ideal about Winestir is that you can pick your shipments based on your schedule.
That's right, Allie. So whether you're a casual drinker or you love hosting parties, you can get your shipment based on your lifestyle. So head to their website today, you guys. That's Winestir, Winestir.com. We've got BSN25 promo code for you, and you can save $25 off your first order. We'll be right back.
the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.